Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on. It's a real pleasure to welcome someone who gave my show a tremendous amount of lift back in 2008, in June, in fact, so over 18 months ago. Welcome on the show again, Dave Opton from ExecuNet. Welcome, Dave.
Thanks, Sarah. Great to be back.
I know. I can't believe the time has progressed the way it is. In fact, I want to remind listeners, because there may indeed be someone today who's listening to you for a second time, that we entitled your show, It's Not Who You Know, But Who Knows You. And with that, let me explain just real quick to our audience what ExecuNet is all about, that Dave founded it in 1988, and in that he's been leveraging now over 40 years of experience in human resources to develop and grow what has become the nation's premier career management firm for executives and senior managers with salaries above $100,000. What Dave and his colleagues, they did, they jumped on the internet wave early to develop an integrated executive career, business, and recruiting network that provides access to exclusive connections, confidential six-figure job listings, expert advice, and actually quite interesting proprietary research. It's a very supportive community for leaders in transition, as they also host face-to-face forums in several cities around the United States. So Dave, take us back. You know, it's been 18 months since we last spoke, and of course, the job market has perhaps gotten tighter than ever before. So some of your advice, though, I suspect is absolutely timeless and continues as you help others that are in transition.
Well, you know, I mean, I think you'd have to have a flat, EKG if you, you know, in terms of what we've all experienced over the last 18 months. It's you know, as I think, as we all know, it's just unprecedented. Yep. So, but I, you know, that being said, certainly from a career management point of view, and I think this applies to any career, not just executive career levels, it's very clear that, you know, people are going to make those changes through mechanisms that have been around for a long, long time. And in fact, in this economy, particularly because it's so terribly competitive and so forth, the idea of leveraging a career change through expanding your personal and professional network becomes even more important than ever. And even in the past, and you know this as well as I do, certainly our statistics over the last 20-plus years, you know, 70% of this membership, of those who made a change, whether they were in transition or just looking to make a career change, it came through networking.
Yes.
And that number is probably, it's certainly equal to that, if not higher to that now. Simply because, among other things, as again you probably know, you know, the tighter the job market, the fewer jobs that are going to be posted anywhere, and the reason for that is, first of all, a lot of them don't exist. But the second reason is, if they're posted so that everybody in the world can see them, you can just imagine, you know, what the tidal wave of response is.
Sure, and then the challenge it is to wade through and try to find the right quality ones that really do match the employer's need.
Right, and you know, recruiters, be they corporate or otherwise, they simply don't have that kind of time.
Well, Dave, I think one thing we might want to stress with the audience, though, and it never hurts to ask this question, could you please explain what you mean by networking? Because perhaps the onslaught of all these social networking and social media tools may be indeed masking at the core what you really mean by that definition.
Yeah. Well, it's a good question, and probably I shouldn't have even used the word, because it's become such a cliche that, you know, it kind of makes the hair on the back of people's neck stand up when they say it. I guess I would put it this way. It's really about expanding your personal and professional contact base, and much more importantly than that, it really is about your ability to build relationships.
Yes.
And I underscore relationships as opposed to contacts, because they're two totally different things. And when it comes to, certainly from a career point of view, it's even more important, because the fact of the matter is, I doubt that there's anybody listening to this today who, you know, if they've met somebody once and said, well, gee, Dave seems like a pretty nice guy, but that's a long way from saying, here, Dave, let me give you the name of a guy that I went to school with who's the CEO of a particular company. I mean, nobody hands out that kind of information unless they've got a relationship, and that relationship, you know, is built on trust.
It really is. Trust and shared experience, a common history, and then also this idea of reciprocity, that, that you're just going to give and give and give, that maybe somehow, somewhere, that it's going to circle back for you.
And you know, and that's really how it happens. I mean, there's a phrase that we use around here a lot, you know, a couple of ways. One, we tell things, look, the name of the game here when it comes to effective networking is to be remembered and to be referred. And people get remembered for the right reasons, and they also get remembered for the wrong reasons.
And yes.
And so it really is about the attitude that you bring to an encounter, if you will. And if you are kind of out there saying, you know, my goal tonight is to you know, collect as many business cards as I can lay my gloves on, that really isn't going to play very well. If your goal is to say, hey, I've got a background and information that may be of help to people here, and I'm more than happy to share that. And I'm not going to worry about what the, you know, kind of what the reciprocity is. There's a woman actually who's been running our meetings in Denver for years, has a nice way of saying it. And she says, give first and the results will follow. And I couldn't agree more with that statement.
Yes. In fact, why don't you touch on quickly, Dave, the ExecuNet forums, your whole model that you have around the country so people could tap into that?
Well, we do it both online and off, actually. But right now, I'd say we probably are running between 45 and 55 meetings a month around the country and also in Canada. And by the way, for anyone who's interested in that, the meetings are open to anybody. You don't have to be a member of ExecuNet to go. The purpose of the meeting and the sole purpose of the meeting is to give people, you know, kind of one more venue in addition to those things that any of us would be doing, be it career-related or business-related, to expand our personal and professional networks. So I think the thing that probably makes these a bit different maybe than some of the networking events or events that people attend is that these are all professionally facilitated, and the only sort of requirement is to, you know, kind of bring your warm and wonderful self and a giving spirit. And people go because they're willing to help each other. And that's the whole point of the meeting. It is not a revenue stream for us at all.
That's right. The ExecuNet organization, then, you're online, which congratulations for all the information technology awards you've gotten because your site has so evolved and stayed abreast of that contemporary technology. Mm-hmm. Any idea on how many active participants you have these days tapping into the resources that you offer?
Oh, boy. It's kind of hard to say because we have, first of all, there are two levels of membership. We have an associate membership, which is free, and people can come online and do that and complete a profile and so forth. And those profiles can be viewed by other members as well as recruiters, but obviously they can't do, you know, kind of what a fully active member can do in terms of being proactive, and that includes participating, for example, just from a networking perspective, in the roundtables that we have. We have, I think, 8 or 9 of those set up by function, where members can interact with each other, be they on career-related issues or business-related issues, of which there are many in-depth discussions, I can tell you.
I think what's interesting, too, is that I get the impression for those, of course, I've had the pleasure of recommending many people to join the ExecuNet community, mm-hmm. is that this is not just a one-time thing until I find that next opportunity, that people choose to stay associated as if they were an alumni and a graduate to come back and give to others. But as you say, tap into some really contemporary sharing on top issues that would affect them as business leaders.
Well, thanks for saying that. And I will tell you that we've been in business now 22 years. And I think one of the most rewarding things that has come out of this for me is to see the shift along the lines that you've just described. Because even in this market, as tough as it is even now, even though it's certainly getting better, but even as tough as it is today, I would say probably 50% or higher of this membership is made up of people who are currently employed for just the reasons that you outlined, that this is a very low-cost, confidential way to kind of keep my eyes and ears open, to draw on the experience of others, and to help other people along the way, you know, which is really kind of a nice thing to do. 20 or 25 years ago, if you were unemployed, kind of the response you got in the outside world was a bit different than it is today, because there are a generation or two of people who've gone through this and recognize that, you know, this is not the end of the world just because somebody doesn't happen to be employed at the moment.
Well, and I also think people, maybe not so much 18 months ago, but certainly now, I'm starting to see a lot more people opening your aperture and willing to go and expand to do new things, or in some regards, return to things that used to bring them tremendous amount of joy.
Yep.
And so they're kind of shaking off that past whoever they were and almost viewing, albeit it's been a tense situation, a bit of a crisis or chaos for some, but a great way for re-energizing.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. And I think it's also true, and again, if you look at our membership where the average age is 50, you're dealing here with executives who have reached a point in their personal lives as well as their business lives where they're able to, you know, whether they're forced to do it or doing it because they want to, but to take a step back and say, look, how do I want to invest the next, you know, 20 years or so? And, you know, your values change as you grow older and you go through, you know, life. And I think a lot of people are doing that.
Right, and I would say that that's touching everybody in every quadrant.
Oh, absolutely. Now,
Dave, talk to us about some of the research lately that your organization has continued to publish and share. I know you just floated a brand new survey, which you do on an annual basis, so you have some nice longitudinal data to track.
Yeah, that's called our Executive Job Market Intelligence Report, and the data that we're gathering now will result in survey data that we plan to, hopefully we'll be ready to do it by kind of like the end of March, because it's a big survey. But it'll be the 18th annual report in that regard. But we do an awful lot more in between. I think something that might be of interest to the listeners right now is something that we've been doing now since 2003, which we call the Recruiter's Confidence Index.
Yes.
And by the way, you don't have to be a member to follow that. It's available on the you know, on the public side of the site. But what the RCI is we every month survey the recruiting community, both corporate recruiters, third-party recruiters, and so on, and ask them a number of different questions. But we always have two ongoing questions, which we've done ever since the beginning, and that's what really sort of creates the index. One question is, what is their level of confidence in their particular world over the next 6 months, and what's their level of confidence over the next 3 months? And having done that now since 2003, and my partner, who happens to be an economist, has tracked this against a number of other indices, including the Dow Jones.
Interesting.
And what we have discovered is that it becomes a leading indicator in terms of what is going on in the economy. And what we're most pleased about is that since the middle of last summer, that index has been going up. And for the first time, I think it was in the last about 2 or 3 months ago, it pushed past the 50 level, which is the first time it's been above that mark in well over a year. And it's been doing that long enough to say that, you know, it's definitely, we're starting to see the improvement, and we see it in other ways as well. But we think that's what I mean when I say is it a tough market? Yes, but it is improving. It's steadily improving. It's not going to be a hockey stick. But it's steady.
I would think the other piece of it, though, is that there's this latent potential boomerang effect within organizations of people who actually are sitting poised to re-enter the job search market at some point in time because their satisfaction level of where they currently are have really been squeezed tight.
Yeah,
I mean, some of the conference board information that's come out, so that this whole idea of employee retention for those of us in the position of helping companies maintain their top talent, it's really should be coming to the forefront, high on our radar screen.
It's funny you bring that up, because that was certainly one of the major things that's come out of some of the folks that we've been talking to and the surveys that we've been taking over the last 6 to 8 months. And you're exactly right. Companies have been so focused on the squeeze of the economy that they really have kind of taken their eye off the ball when it comes to retention. And in fact, the most recent time we asked them about it, only 64% of them said they were really sort of concerned about it, and that was back in 2009, and that had dropped from 78% in 2008. I'll be interested to see what it turns out to be this year. And only 39% of them said that they were really working a lot harder to retain their top talent. And for sure, those folks who have been left behind here are going to start coming off the sidelines.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Well, it's been a pleasure. Dave Opton from ExecuNet, that's www.execunet.com for our listeners interested. Thanks for giving us your time, and we'll continue to track the terrific and inspiring and supportive work that you and your team offer to those of us in the employment world.
Great. Thanks, Sarah.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.